message. I encourage people, whenever you hear a sermon, to take some notes. And for those on Facebook, whenever we quote a Bible verse, make the note of the Bible verse on Facebook as well. That just helps other people to know where we're up to. And just wanted to encourage you also, take screenshots of the quotes and Bible verses you see on the screen. It's a good way to do it. Take a screenshot on your phone and you can go through it and remember it later. I always encourage people, whenever you hear a message, take notes, study it, research it, so that you don't forget what you've learned. And also a special welcome to all the newcomers that are here today. Don't forget you can go to the What Now table after the service if you'd like to connect with us. We'd love to get to know the newcomers. And don't forget, if you do want to come to that Heart of New Hope lunch, you're more than welcome. Okay, so this week I was really seeking God earlier in the week on Monday. I was really seeking God. Carol was away with some friends, a couple of girlfriends, and Carol went away up to the coast for a couple of days, and I was, you know, suffering for Jesus back here in Brisbane, and I just spent some time with the Lord, and I really just felt God put this word on my heart about sacrifice. And I was saying to a friend this morning, it's not an easy message to preach, so can you pray for me today? Is that all right? Sometimes, you know, us preachers, we like to preach the nice happy clappy messages, you know. But sometimes we get a heavy word in our heart. So let's pray as we get into it, hey? Father, as we open your word today, I pray, God, that you'll anoint my lips. Speak to me and through me today. And I pray that every one of us, everyone listening, that we'll receive this message from you. Speak to us through your word. Your word will not return void, but will accomplish that which it's sent for. Holy Spirit, come and bring conviction. Stir our hearts to be obedient to you, to make ourselves, to make our lives be a living sacrifice to you, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. So the message today is called Isaac, Let's Go for a Walk. Imagine what was going through Abraham's mind as he walked with his son to offer him as a living sacrifice. He kept going because he honored God. He had a heart of obedience. What an amazing example of trusting in God, regardless of the outcome. What a great man of faith. I'd like to spell the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, forward all issues to him, amen? That's what faith is. We say, no matter what is happening, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to trust in you. We need to learn from his example. And we need to be willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice every day. J.C. Ryle said this, there's a common worldly kind of Christianity in this day, which many have, and think they have enough, a cheap Christianity, which offends nobody and requires no sacrifice, which costs nothing and is worth nothing. When I read that quote, it struck me to the heart, and I thought, this is a challenge. You know, I shared that last week, Matty Russell's message, I've never cried so much in a sermon in all my life. I was struck to the heart with conviction. I shared in the prayer room this morning, it breaks my heart knowing that as a pastor, you know, 150, 200 people, whatever, however many people are part of our church, there will be a percentage of people at New Hope who won't go to heaven. I don't know whether that's 1%, 5%, 10%, 20%. I reckon in some churches, it might be 50, 60, 70%. I don't know. Only God is the judge. But I want to be responsible as the shepherd of this church to make sure we preach the true gospel, that we preach a message of repentance. We preach a message of warning of the wrath and the judgment that is to come if we don't get our life right with Christ. And so I feel like this message flows on from what Matty laid the foundation last week. I feel to go to the next level. And I want to challenge you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, to lay down everything to God. Not just be a Christian on Sunday, not just on Wednesday night or at Connect Group, not just read the Bible a little bit and then forget about God through the rest of the day. To lay down everything for Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. What a challenge. And I want to throw out the challenge. If you didn't hear Maddie's message last Sunday, you can watch it on our Facebook page. You can listen to it on our podcast or our YouTube. There's some clips of him there. I encourage you to listen to the word that he brought, because I believe it was a word in season for our church. You know, part of our goal as a church for this year is that we'd like to see 80% of people serving in the church. We estimate about 60% are serving right now, volunteering on a team somewhere. And you know what? Just imagine a church where everyone has said, I'm going to offer myself as a living sacrifice to God. I'm going to lay down everything to serve God. Imagine if everyone got that revelation. Imagine the influence our church could have in this nation, in the world, if 100% of us were all in. Now, we set the bar a bit lower at 80%, but I want to challenge you. Are you willing to step up and use your spiritual gifts? Are you willing to pull your weight and serve? Imagine if everyone in our church was on fire and walking in revival. For that to happen, we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Today, I'm going to be challenging everyone. I'm going to make you squirm in your seats about offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Now, we know the story of Abraham. We're going to turn there in Genesis 22, 1 to 18. We know Abraham was known as the father of faith. You know the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father. I am one of them and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm. Come on. No, we're not going to do it. No. And I love the fact that James shared a bit about Abraham. He called him Abraham. Abram. Yes, very Hebraic, the way he pronounced that. Abram. I love that he talked about Abraham. And, you know, and I love the fact that you quoted from Galatians as well in your communion, because this week in our daily Bible readings, we've read through the book of Galatians. We've been reading through it every day. My wife and children and I read through a chapter of the Bible. We read through Galatians 5 today about the fruits of the Spirit. We read about Galatians, about the promise of the seed of Abraham that's available to us. I love the fact that the Old Testament and the New Testament go hand in hand, amen? And that's one of my prayers for us as a church, that we do our daily devotions every day. I want to challenge you. If you go to the New Hope website, there's readings there every day. You can read through. We're reading through Galatians at the moment. We've just finished Job in the Old Testament. We're reading through the Bible together as a church. We want to be on the same page, amen? So I want to challenge you to be in God's Word every day. Before we launch into this verse, I'll tell you another reason why it's very special to me. When my amazing wife and I got married 17 years ago, our pastor, Kirk Delaney from Vineyard Pine Rivers, prophesied over us. And he gave us this word. He said, Matt and Carol, I prophesy that you're going to have many children, just like Abraham. And now we've got three, you know. And I don't know if there'll be any more coming in the natural. We'll, you know, leave that to the Lord. You never know with Abraham and Sarah. You never know. I mean, Abraham was 100, wasn't he, when he had Isaac? Sarah was 90. You never know. I keep saying, honey, you never know. But I do believe that that word was that we'll have many spiritual children. Now, we weren't pastors at the time. I was just this crazy evangelist who was working at 96.5 radio, earning lots of money, living the dream, you know. And I didn't know what God was calling me to at that time. I just knew I was called to preach the gospel. And he prophesied over it. He said, you'll be like Abraham. You'll have many, many children, multitudes. And he prophesied that over us. So whenever I hear of Abraham, I remember that prophetic word. And, you know, prophetic words don't automatically happen, you know. You've got to trust in the Lord for their provision, amen, for them to come to pass. You've got to cooperate with the prophetic word. You've got to step out in faith. So often whenever I read this, I say, thank you, Lord, for that prophetic word, and thank you that we're starting to see it come to pass. This week I was chatting to a friend of ours who just said this one line. She said, the Lord spoke to her and said, you can choose to be mediocre or you can choose to be extraordinary. And she said that the Lord gave her a vision of our church, that in this year it's been a season of preparation. But soon we will see multitudes coming. She said, just like when you saw multitudes of people from the Middle East scattered throughout Europe and they just went into the countries everywhere. She said, that's what you're going to see at New Hope. And I believe that's a true prophetic word for what God's doing in this house. Amen. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. And we'll see many come to Christ already this year. Pastor Oscar reckons it's about 500 salvations. I reckon about 400, but either way, you know, he's at it on the GST, you know. Either way, who knows how many have come to Christ? All we know is every week we see 15, 20 people come to Christ every week in the shelters, at the King's Table, at the Roma Street Outreach, in our one-to-one evangelism, in our services. It's been the biggest harvest we've ever seen. And, you know, late last year, I was in a tough place. We'd had some dramas happen at the church, and I was ready to shut up shop and go and work in radio again or do something. I was ready just, you know, to say, all right, Lord, I've had enough. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I ain't finished yet. There is more to come. There is more to come. And over that Christmas season last year, Carol and I, we felt like we had to lay everything on the altar again. And so, all right, God, we're giving it to you. Whether you close the church or we keep going, whatever, we're handing it over to you again. And that's what it's a bit like with the story of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac had to give up his one and only son. What an amazing man of faith. Let's look at that word today. Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Does anybody have the COVID test? I did. They stuck this thing up my nose so far, my brain tickled. I had tears coming to my eyes. I'm like, what are you doing? Ah! You know. Thankfully, it came back negative. It's okay, everyone. I'm fine, you know. This was a couple of months ago, you know. But why did they test me? To see whether I had it or not. Why do we have tests at school? To see whether we've learnt and applied what we've learnt or not. You know how God tests us? To see whether our faith is genuine, to see if we're the real deal or not. Who's been tested by God before? Yeah. Put your hand up if you enjoy being tested by God. Keep it up. Oh, a few people, okay. Well, as I was praying this morning, I felt the Lord give me this verse, James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Who asked God for wisdom? Yeah? Well, you need to ask God for tests as well. Well, maybe you don't need to ask God for tests. You need to expect God to give you tests. There's this false gospel that's preached that come to Jesus and everything's going to be rosy, everything will be fine, you'll be blessed and everything will be just fine, don't worry about it. And if you know, when you come to Jesus, you've got a target on your back from the devil and he's going to be on your case. And God will also test you to see whether your faith is genuine. Why does God test us? To test our heart to see if we are the real deal. 1 Peter 1:7 says, your faith will be like gold that's been tested in a fire. And these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. They will show you that you'll be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus returns. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? I want to be found faithful when he returns. I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you a job to do. I gave you an assignment to do, and you completed it. You didn't bail out early. You weren't half-hearted and lukewarm. You were all in. It's like if that's the altar, you got to get on the altar completely. Completely. Every day, say, God, I offer myself as a living sacrifice to you. Some people are like this. All right, Lord, here's my sacrifice. Just in case, I'm just ready. And we climb off the altar through the day and we forget about the sacrifice we made at the start of the day and we try and do it our own way and we forget about the promise we made to God. Ecclesiastes warns us, when you make a vow to God, it says, be careful. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Be careful when you make a vow to God. Make sure that you're completely honest and real when you make your vow to God. When you make your vow to God to be a living sacrifice, you can't do it and have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You've got to be all in. You can't get off the altar. You've got to stay where God's called you. We've got to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. The Greek word for tests is dokimazo. Everyone say dokimazo. Which means not just testing, but the approval and discernment that results from intense testing. And I'm here to warn you today, we've got some intense testing times ahead as believers. Not just with what's happening politically, financially, COVID, with religious freedom, with persecution against believers. Here in Australia, we're in a pretty safe place. We're in one of the best cities, in one of the best states, in one of the best nations in the world right now. Be careful not to have just an Aussie focus of Christianity. Look at the North Korean Christians. Look at the Chinese Christians. Look at the Christians in the Middle East. Brothers and sisters are being persecuted all over the world. And I believe we're starting to see a shift towards persecution in the West as well. We'll see it more and more and more. Leaders are being raised up more and more that don't care about Christianity, and they're going to take away religious freedom and will be persecuted more and more. Not just from that level, but among our friends, among our family. We'll be attacked. We'll be challenged and rebuked by our family, our relatives, our neighbors. And we need to stand firm on what God has called us to do. Testing times are ahead. Will your faith prove genuine? I only got to verse 1. I better keep going. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Now, firstly, imagine God telling you that. Imagine God saying, your little girl Grace, 12 years old, your precious little baby, take her up to Mount Nebo. Take out a knife and end her life. I'd be like, no, that's the devil. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. I don't know what I'd say. I'd come up with a lot of it. I'd be throwing out fleeces left, right, and center like Gideon. I'd be questioning. That's completely against what I know of the nature of God. I would wrestle with that challenge so much. But would I be faithful? I don't know. Thank God he hasn't told me that. Don't worry, honey, you're okay. Actually, true story. I was driving with the kids up to the women's retreat. I was up there going up to taking some stuff up for Carol, and I actually joked to Josh. I said, "Hey, Josh, we're going up the mountain today. Something I haven't told you, didn't I? You remember that?" Anyway, thankfully, he's got a sense of humour. I was just joking. Don't call docs, please. It was a joke. It was moving on. Sometimes you just wish you could put the words back in your mouth after you tell these jokes. That's a bad joke. Anyway, take your son, your only son. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. I've never seen that before. I just felt the Lord on the third day. Because we know that the sacrifice of Isaac, and we know the end of the story, it was a ram that was sacrificed, is representative of the lamb that was slain. Jesus is God's son. And it's the third day. That's interesting too. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Gulp. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Now, I've seen different movies and video clips of this. And it's about here in the video where the angel spoke. But I wonder if it was here or here, or I mean, how close did it get? But he was willing to sacrifice his only son. That just blows my mind. I just can't comprehend what was going through his mind. What was going through Isaac's mind? Trusting in his dad. Was Abraham thinking, if I kill him, God will raise him? Or was Abraham thinking, oh, God has another plan, God will come through? Why is it at the 11th hour, at 59 minutes, does God wait till the last minute to come through sometimes? I don't know. All I know is God's timing is Kairos timing. Kairos is the Greek word for perfect timing. God's timing is perfect, amen? And what an example of faithfulness that he was willing to go through it. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy." Oh, what a relief. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." We need a revival of the fear of God. We need an awakening in the church of people that are willing to lay down everything for God. We need an honor and a respect. When God speaks to us, we must do what he told us to do. Amen? "Now I know that you fear God. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.'" Everyone say, "The Lord will provide." We need to remember that. We need to remember that Jehovah Jireh, our provider, he will provide. We've just got to be faithful. We've just got to fear the Lord, be faithful, and he will provide. And to this day it's said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Who's blessed because of that covenant? We are blessed. We are inheritance of that covenant. We receive that same blessing because of this. Because he was faithful, he feared God, he honored God, he was willing to go through it, God blessed him. I'm here to challenge you today. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the blessing. Are you willing to lay everything down before God? You know, it's interesting. I did a bit of research on this, and this was actually the last of 10 trials that God subjected to Abraham. He went through another 9 trials before this. God's pretty thorough, amen? God brought all these trials and tests before Abraham, and this was the last one, the greatest one. Are you ready for tests? Are you ready for trials? Consider it pure joy when you go through trials, because it will develop your perseverance, your faith, your character. It'll make you into the man or woman of God you're meant to be. It's like when God is the potter and we are the clay. He molds us through trials. He molds us through our testing times. This year has been a testing time for all of us with what's happening around the world. But God is preparing us for something great, amen? God is blessing us. The greater the trial, the greater the blessing. Interestingly, in rabbinical tradition, the age of Isaac at the time was about 37. A lot of people think he was just a boy, and it says he was a boy in Genesis, but they believe he was 37. Which would put Abraham as 137. And I remember when I first heard this story, I was a young youth leader, 17 years old, at Coffs Harbour Wesleyan Methodist Church, and we had a videotape. Do you young people know what a videotape is? It's this thing, it's like a CD, but it's got, anyway. And we watched a video called Eat Owl. Now, I don't know if any of the Papua New Guineans know that word, but Eat Owl is a word that was used in a remote Papua New Guinean jungle. There was a team from New Tribes Mission from America that had been trained up. They went to go to Bible college. Sorry, they wanted to become missionaries. And all the mission agency says, you've got to do Bible college. And they said, we haven't got 3 years. God's told us to go. So they did a 6-week course from New Tribes Missions and got prepared and went to a remote jungle in Papua New Guinea where this tribe had never heard the gospel before. And I love the fact that, you know, the Apostle Paul said, I preached the gospel where the gospel hadn't been heard. And, you know, sometimes the sacrifice we need to make is to be willing to go to another country and preach the gospel where it hasn't been heard before, amen? Sometimes that's the sacrifice we're called to make. Anyway, I'm not going to get too distracted. They preached the gospel in this village for 6 months, and the village hated the white people that came. They attacked them. They physically attacked them. They were cast out. They had all sorts of persecution. Yet this couple were faithful to preach the gospel faithfully. And after 6 months, they taught through the book of Genesis, and they got to this story of Abraham and Isaac. And they posed the question, they didn't tell the end of the story because they didn't know the Bible, but they said, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Should he have done it? Should he have obeyed God, or should he have protected his son? And he left all the tribe with that question. And then all night, the Papua New Guineans got together and they argued and they discussed it and they sought God about it. What is the truth? And in the morning, they gathered the people again, like every morning they would teach the Bible to them. And they started asking the question, what should Abraham have done? Should he have sacrificed his son? Should he have disobeyed God and let his son live? And everyone in the village said he should have put God first and sacrificed his son. These are people that don't know the Bible. They don't know the end of the story like we do. God spoke to them sovereignly, and he told the story. He said, "You have made the right choice. You should put God first and do whatever God tells you, even if it means sacrificing your son." And all the people were weeping and thinking, what a heartbreaking story. And then the missionary explained the story that God provided a ram and he didn't end up sacrificing his son. He sacrificed the ram instead. And then he said, 2,000 years later, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And he is the lamb that was slain for you, and you can be saved. And one of the chief elders in the tribe went, Eat ow, eat ow. And the other one went, Eat ow, eat ow, eat ow. And the whole village. And eat ow means it is truth. It is truth. And there's video, you can look it up on YouTube, for hours. The tribe danced and shouted, "Idao, Idao, Idao, it is truth, it is truth." And the whole village gave their life to Jesus that day. You know, you think about the power of the Word of God. When you bring the Word of God, a whole village can be born again. A whole village can be saved. The other story I heard about this was from Ravi Zacharias. He told the story about an encounter he had with one of the leaders of Hamas, Sheikh Talal Sider, one of the four founders of Hamas, the terrorist organization. He held an audience with Ravi Zacharias and some other Christian leaders. They were there to have peace talks with Christian leaders between Palestine and Israel. And the Sheikh allowed each of the Christian leaders to ask one question. Ravi Zacharias said he saw one of the leaders of Hamas and he asked him, he spoke to him. He said they gave him a great meal, and the leader of Hamas said that he'd served 18 years in prison for terrorism and some of his children had been lost in suicide bombings. And Ravi Zacharias felt the Holy Spirit stir him to throw out this question. He said, "Sheikh, I may never see you again, and forgive me for asking you the wrong question. Please tell me, what do you think of suicide bombing and sending your children out like that?" Ravi said, "I didn't like his answer. I couldn't say much. The room was full of smoke." And after the Sheikh gave his answer, Ravi Zacharias said this, "Sheikh, you and I may never see each other again. So I want you to hear me. A little distance from here is a mountain upon which Abraham went 5,000 years ago to offer his son. You may say the son was Ishmael, I say it's Isaac. We can agree to disagree. Let's not argue about that." But he took his son up there. And as the axe was about to fall, God said, "Stop." Do you know what God said after that? The Sheikh shook his head. God said, "I myself will provide." He nodded his head. And Ravi then said, "Very close to where you and I are sitting, Sheikh, is a hill. And 2,000 years ago, God kept that promise and brought his only son, Jesus Christ. And the axe did not stop this time. He sacrificed his own son." He said, "Sheikh, I want you to hear this. Until you and I receive the Son of God as he's provided, we'll be offering our own sons and daughters on the battlefields of this world for many of the wrong reasons." When Ravi Zacharias walked out, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was with him in the peace talks, put his arm around him and said, "Well done. You spoke God's word to that Sheikh today." The Sheikh came up, patted him on the face, kissed him on both his cheeks. He was a strong man, and he pulled Ravi close to himself and he said, "You're a good man. I hope I see you again one day." And that's all he said. Ravi Zacharias went on to say that until we accept God's son, we'll be sacrificing our sons for land, money, power, or fame. Aside from the profound meaning of what he said, I can't imagine the courage it would be to speak straight to that Sheikh from Hamas. What a powerful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, this Old Testament story of Abraham being willing to lay down his son and God the Father laying down his son is a word for us today that we need to accept the sacrifice that Christ made and we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice today. So what's your Isaac? What do you need to sacrifice? Is it an addiction? Is it an ungodly relationship? What are you being called to sacrifice? Is it comfort? Is it riches? Is it health? You know, I interviewed a lady for History Makers years ago named Michelle Perry. By the age of 21, she'd been through 12 operations. She's only got one leg. She's a missionary in Mozambique, caring for orphans. Regularly, she has guns held to her head. And she says, "You can't kill me, I'm already dead. I am crucified with Christ, It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Romans 12, verse 1, I'm a living sacrifice for Christ Jesus, holy and pleasing unto him. She told me that she's sick 75% of the time because of the water, the food, the pollution, the horrible lifestyle she lives in Mozambique. She's been willing to sacrifice her health for the orphans of Mozambique. Where are the Abrahams of today who are willing to sacrifice their Isaac? What's the Isaac that God is calling you to sacrifice? Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's Australia that God's calling you to sacrifice. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary in another nation. Maybe God's calling you to quit your job and serve in the ministry. What's your Isaac? Are you willing to lay it on the altar today? Pastor Alejandro, our associate pastor, sent me an email yesterday saying he's not sure when he's going to be able to come back to Australia. He was planning to go for a 3-week trip to preach over there, and he was hoping to get a ticket back. There's no tickets available until January. He's praying for a miracle. He's praying for a breakthrough. He's got his wife and kids with him. Now, some people think, oh, Alejandro, he's got the life. He travels around preaching and, oh, you know. He's made a sacrifice to go and do this for God. He felt God told him to go do it. He's made a sacrifice. He could be home here in North Lakes with his wife and kids, part of New Hope, you know, living the dream here. He's stuck in limbo in the US right now, not knowing how long he's going to be there for. It's the price you pay to be in ministry. Some people think, oh, look at those great preachers, those great pastors, those successful people. Oh, they're lucky, aren't they? Let me tell you, there's a sacrifice you pay to get to where God's called you to. There's a price you pay. Are you willing to count the cost and pay the price? You don't know the blood, sweat, and tears and the price many leaders have paid to persist and keep their hand to the plow. God wants you to offer all of yourself on the altar. Your time, your ambitions, your possessions, your ears, your mouths, your sexuality, your mind, your emotions, your attitudes. He wants you to lay everything on the altar. And don't get off again. Jesus said, if anyone puts their hand to the plow, if they look back, they're not worthy of me. We've got to put our hand to the plow and go where God's called us to go. Pay the price. Romans 12, verse 1 in the Message says, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I read a song, I listened to a song this week from Bob Fitts called Sacrifice about this very story. You'll see the words on your screen. He said, oh, this must be the hardest hill I've ever climbed, for I must sacrifice the promised son of mine. And so I go to worship you with you by my side and trust the sacrifice he will provide. And though I cherish you, I must now offer you to him who is the giver of all good things. And though I cherish you, I will not offer you, for surely he could raise you up again. So skip down there. It says, O Abraham, now that I know you fear my name, withhold your hand, O faithful man. Behold the ram, behold the lamb. It must have been the hardest thing he's ever done when God the Father sacrificed his only son. The one that he most cherished gave his life away. And by his love, he made a better way. Let's go to the next screen. I want to challenge you. Are you willing to give up what you cherish? As it says, and so I cherish you, so I honor you, for truly you are the giver of all good things. Jehovah Jireh, he has provided the sacrifice of love no man could ever pay. And what he requires of you and me, even the hardest thing, your blood, O Christ, your sacrifice gives me strength to obey. With his heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice with these hands lifted high. Hear my song, hear my cry. I will bring a sacrifice. I will lay me down. When Christ died on that old rugged cross, he had nails through his hands and through his feet, a crown of thorns on his head, a spear through his side. He was whipped 39 times on his back until it was shredded to pieces. When he hung on that cross, he was asphyxiated. The word crucifixion is where you're asphyxiated. You drown in your own blood. And he went to the cross for the joy set before him, for you and for me. He made that sacrifice to bring us to God. What sacrifice will you make for him today? Are you willing to lay everything down for him? We can't just have this watered-down version of Christianity where we're just a Christian on a Sunday and we live like the devil the rest of the week. We've got to repent. We've got to turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God. We've got to make a sacrifice. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Friends, to make a sacrifice to God, we've got to turn from the ways of the world. Turn from our ungodliness, our addictions, our carnal, worldly, fleshly ways. Turn from them. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have the mind of Christ and start to follow him. When we make a sacrifice, when we lay our lives down, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This week I was preaching at a soup kitchen up at Redcliffe on Monday night with Pastor Oscar and Andrew Cook. Four people came to Christ that night. It was an awesome night, praise God. But I sat there at the end of the night having a meal with two men. One of them was a broken man. He had big rings on, tattoos. He had a hard heart. And I said to him, "Do you believe in God?" He goes, "I do, but I'm angry at him." I said, "Tell me a story." He said, "Several years ago, my son died. And I've blamed God, and I'm angry at God that this has happened to me, and I will not get right with God today because of this hurt in my heart." He just, you know, was weeping and just sharing me this story. And I just said to him, "Mate, I don't know why bad things happen. I don't know why tsunamis happen, earthquakes happen. I don't know why cancer happens. I don't know. I know there's a devil, and I know that there's lots of evil and sin in this world. I know there's problems. I don't know why your son died. I can't explain that. But what I do know is bad things happen to people, but God is good. And you can come to God today, and he can heal your broken heart. God can comfort you. He can give you peace." I said to him, "What I see before me is a broken man who has no hope. I can guarantee you, if you get your life right with Jesus, you'll have hope of heaven. You'll have hope of a better life to come. We're only on this earth 70, 80, 90 years. Who knows how long we'll be here?" And he shared a bit of his story. I shared a bit more with him. And then opposite me was another man, a former pastor, whose wife had died last year and whose daughter had died several years ago. And he shared his story. It was like a Kairos God moment. He said, "Mate, I don't know why you lost your son, and my heart breaks for you. I lost my daughter, and I lost my wife, and my heart has been broken." He said, "But Jesus is holding me and comforting me and guiding me through this time." And I said to this brother, "Can I pray for you?" He goes, "All right, okay." So we laid hands on him and we prayed for him at the table. He didn't give his life to Jesus yet, but I'm sure he will soon, Pastor Oscar. You keep an eye on that brother. He loves Pastor Oscar, this guy. And you know what? I just said to this guy, you need to lay your life down for God. You need to come to him. You need to surrender to him. Stop fighting against him. When you come to God, you'll find that peace that you're looking for. He's looking for it in drugs. He's looking for it in his lifestyle and all the things he's doing, but he ain't found it. It's only when you lay your life down as a sacrifice to God, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you receive the gift of grace and the mercy of God, your life is transformed, and then you'll receive that peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It'll guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. I want to challenge you today. Make your whole life a sacrifice to God. Years ago, when I took over this church, the Lord gave me a vision of this church, and he said, it's like a house. And some people in the church have given God the lounge room, but they haven't given him the bedroom or the cellar or the attic. There's other areas in their life that haven't yet surrendered to God. I want to challenge you today, if there's areas of your life that you haven't yet sacrificed to God, invite him in to everything today. If you want to find your life, you have to lose it for Christ and then you'll find it, Jesus said. You've got to lay everything down. You've got to say, God, I'm not going to be half in anymore. I'm not going to be half on the altar and half in the world. It can be a very uncomfortable place to be. We've got to be all in. Christ isn't a crutch that we lean on that helps us a little bit. He's a stretcher that carries us completely. We've got to be all in for him, willing to make that living sacrifice. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, as we come to you today, we thank you for the story of Abraham and Isaac. Thank you for the great example of the faith of Abraham, willing to lay everything down for you, his one and only son. What a great example. Lord, help us to be faithful like Abraham, to be men and women of faith, to trust in you as Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that you will provide for us, even if it's the last minute of the last hour. When we're tested, Lord, we want to prove faithful. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have bowed down to the idol, but instead they trusted you and they went into that fiery furnace. And you were there with them in the fire. They were tested and they came forth and were found faithful when they came out of that fire. Lord, we know that we've got trials and tests ahead of us. Prepare us now for the trials that are to come, for the tests that are to come. We want to be found faithful to the call you've placed in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you'll show us what we need to lay on the altar today. Is it an ungodly relationship? Is it our finances? Is it our addictions? Is it alcohol? Is it food? What is it, God, that is like an idol in our life that we worship more than we worship you? We want to lay everything at the altar today and surrender completely to you. Forgive us, Lord, for our sin. Wash us whiter than snow. We want to bring a sacrifice to you today. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, Before we close the service today, I've got two questions. Firstly, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? When Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago, He was the sacrifice for our sins. And if you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, today you can come to Him in faith and He will forgive you of your sins and wash away your sins. If today you want to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to pray a prayer in a moment where you can get your heart right with God. If you want to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive Him in your life today, I just want you to slip your hand up real high. I see that, brother. That's awesome. Is there anybody else that says, yes, I want to come to Jesus today? I want to receive forgiveness of sins. Good on you. I see that. That's awesome. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up real high. It's a commitment between you and God. I see that too. That's awesome. That's three. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up high. Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. God bless you guys.